You're listening to Well Met. Well Met. A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 161 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Sunday, August 5th, 2018, and I'm J.R. Cook here in Kansas City, and I'm with the normal crew this week. Ray, you're feeling a lot better, I take it.
Yeah, I'm actually getting better by the day. I'm really happy with the progress that I've been making since I had that trip to the hospital. I got the IV medicine, and ever since then, honestly, I've been getting like progressively better. It's just taking longer than I would like, but you know what, any going up is better than getting worse, so we'll take it.
I'm glad you're feeling better, and I'm glad you're back here with us to talk about Hearthstone and card reviews and all of that good stuff.
I would have been so sad if I was not feeling good for Boomsday, man, because like, if this were 2 weeks ago or something, like, I wouldn't even be able to play Hearthstone. I would just be, like, AFK from life. But with the Boomsday coming up, I mean, I'm just excited that I actually feel like playing Hearthstone and that I'm actually excited, you know? Feels good.
Yeah, definitely. And that other voice you heard briefly there, we've got good old Danny Donuts back. Hey, Danny, how's it going?
Man, I'm just super excited for this expansion. It's like the night before Boomsday. It's 2 days before Boomsday, but yeah, I'm super excited.
Yeah, it's like Christmas Eve of Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
But by the time people hear this, I'm sure that it will be Boomsday Eve, though. And I'm glad we got to record tonight a little bit early so that we can get this out Monday. And people can hopefully listen to it sometime tomorrow before they go and open up all of their presents under the Boomsday tree. So get all those mechs geared up and everything. So, with that said, though, what have you guys been up to this past week? Danny, what have you been up to in this last week?
I've been doing card review after card review. We put out one for under the One Trick banner, and it actually got some traction on competitive Hearthstone subreddit. Like, that's the go-to wild review right now. And I also did a full review with the Into the Wild podcast, and that was a good 6.5 hour recording session.
What?
Yeah, we went really deep into all the cards, and like, the big thing about this set is that you have all the mechs from GVG that just boost certain cards comparatively, like compared to standard. There's just so many strong synergies that make you reevaluate cards. And so my opinion on certain cards are completely different than people who are just playing standard. So it's crazy. It's crazy that you have to look back all the way to there and then just how the set changes based off of that.
I mean, were you guys wearing adult diapers or something through that? Or did you take
breaks?
Well,
no, we took okay. breaks. No, there were a couple of breaks throughout that.
I couldn't even imagine sitting down and talking for 6.5 hours on just card reviews for 135 cards. That's crazy.
I mean, I did the same thing.
Oh, my God. I mean, so what have you been up to, Ray? Just card review after card review as well?
No, I only did one because I did it a couple days ago with my teammate Hot Meowth, and that was like probably the second or third day where I was really starting to feel like, hey, I'm getting back to normal. I'm going to try to do stuff again and not just sleep all day and die. So I didn't really get to do more. I got asked to do a bunch of different card reviews and stuff like that. I would have done them all if I had the energy, but I wasn't really feeling good really up until the last few days. So I did the one with my teammate and it was probably 5.5 hours. So it's a big set with a lot of text on the cards. Like, and a lot of things to think about. Like, even Magnetic, like, War Gear is probably one of the best cards in the set, and the text on it is very vanilla, but, like, the Magnetic keyword implies so much. It's not something that's simple, like Death Touch, where it's very linear. Magnetic, like, there's so many things that you have to think about when you see that keyword.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Things that I've been up to this week. I loaded up Hearthstone. I've played a handful of games. I'm just getting ready for the set to launch. I didn't do any card reviews like you guys did. I've been getting prepared for my trip this Friday. I'm going to Florida, Code on the Beach, where I get to go and talk about APIs to a bunch of programming nerds like myself. And that's going to be a lot of fun. It's sold out, so I'm kind of nervous about, you know, the potential crowd of people that'll be there. I've never talked in front of someone or a crowd like that before, a group like that. So it's going to be my first time doing that. So that's going to be pretty fun. Last week I was interviewed by Anastasia over at General Chat Pod. And we spent 2 hours just talking about my life in gaming and about my content creation with Blizz Pro, here at Well Met, and also just gaming in general. And like, we went way back to like when I was 3 years old. So, that was a lot of fun to talk about. I had a lot of stories that I didn't realize I had, that many stories, to be honest, but I am pretty old. So, also Tuesday night, we're going to play, Overcooked 2 over on the twitch.tv/BlizzPro channel on Blizz Pro Adventure Club. That's going to be pretty fun. I'm really looking, like, I got two games coming out Tuesday. I'm really looking forward to Boomsday Project and Overcooked 2. If you've never played Overcooked 2, it's awesome.
What is it?
It's like a cooking game, but it's co-op. It's like a couch co-op game, four players. And basically, you're just all getting together to try to figure out or trying to figure out how to cook this stuff. And get these orders out, but there's a bunch of stuff happening like on the screen, you have to like work together as a team to get things out efficiently. So it's a lot of yelling at each other, because if someone screws up, they screw up the whole group. So usually you're just sitting there yelling at each other like Gordon Ramsay, and it's a good time.
Sounds interesting. It sounds like what, I don't know, back in the day, I don't know if you guys ever played this, but like, there was a game called WarioWare for the Wii, and it was just like, I don't know, whenever I hear something that sounds like that, that's what it reminds me of, is that, where it's just like, there's so much random stuff going on, and it's like, a good multiplayer game.
Yeah, this was, like, the first one was, like, local multiplayer only.
Yeah, I played that one.
Yeah, but this one's going to be, like, you can play it online, and I'm looking so forward to that.
Which one do you think is going to have more Twitch viewership on its initial day?
Oh, Hearthstone. I mean, come on.
Bit of a loaded question there.
Overcooked is not that popular. It's popular, but not that popular.
This is a pretty hype expansion, I'm not going to lie. Like, I feel like a lot of people who have been bored with Hearthstone lately are getting excited for it again, like with this set.
Yeah.
And it not in the same way as the Witchwood did either. Like, when people saw the Witchwood and they saw Shudderwalk, they weren't really excited. They were like, oh God, like, how are they letting this be a thing? Like, this is going to be broken, blah, blah, blah. I feel like people aren't really saying that aside from Maligos Druid, which is very scary. But I feel like people are more focusing on the fact that there's so many new things that are going to be, like, coming alive.
There's a lot of new synergy in this set. There's a lot of new synergy, and I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, people are excited about theory crafting with this set more so than I've seen in past sets.
Yeah, and I think I have a theory on the metagame before we get into talking about cards. I think that the meta is going to immediately, obviously the first day or two, people are just going to try out their bad ideas, right? That happens every metagame, but
right.
I think Maligos is going to be so good that people are going to adopt a more mid-range aggressive style to kind of deal with that, because there's really no way Control can deal with Maligos anymore. They just have so much burst potential because they can make so many Maligos.
The magnetic keyword really helps with that mid-range aggro aggression, though. Like, these cards are really built for it. And, I mean, especially I have the backlog of all the old school mechs, so I'm super excited to try that stuff out.
Yeah, and one of the key things that did well against decks like Druid and Shedderwalk in the past metagame was just making a giant minion that they can't answer. Because honestly, Malygos has two naturalizes and Shudderwalk has two hexes. But beyond that, they don't really have any good ways to deal with minions that go tall. And with the magnetic keyword, you can do both. Like, you can go really aggressive early game, and then you could just make a big minion that they just either don't answer and die or answer with, and then you get two more cards. So you have more ways to make big dudes, because magnetic just leads to the ability to make big dudes so often. It's not like you have to play a bunch of awkward threats in your deck or something like that. Like, the magnetic keyword just makes it so nice, and it makes the deck so smooth. I mean, I haven't really obviously played any of the new cards yet because the set's not out and I didn't go to any pre-releases, but I did watch one, and JR wants to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I was just gonna, we'll jump into that in a second, but I just wanted to say, like, I think the first day or two, like, everybody's going to be so hyped up on Druid because they think that Druid is going to be like this super powerful deck that's going to be like super oppressive to everything else. And it probably will be for the first couple of days. And then I think we're going to have a dark horse candidate or two that comes in that no one's like really thought of yet or really like talked about and linked, that's going to take the meta by storm.
Probably going to be Zoo.
And I think that's what we're going to see.
Honestly, I think it's just going to be some type of deck that utilizes war gear, like, or just the magnetic mechanic in general, because I just feel like that is exactly what you need to be doing to defeat a deck like Malygos Druid, is you just need to be aggressive and deal a lot of damage in the mid game, and that's what those cards really allow you to do. And I don't know what deck it's going to be that ends up being really good. Danny thinks Zoo. I think that Zoo or Hunter or there's so many classes that it can kind of fit into, but we'll have to find out.
I still think Rogue is going to be in a good place. And I think Paladin is going to be the dark horse, like some kind of mech Paladin.
I think that Paladin got the best mechs by far. Like, the one drop mech is so good, especially like, with Kangor's army and stuff, the way that the magnetic works with Kangor's army is that card is going to be so difficult for a deck like Druid to deal with if they curve out into Kangor and they make a bunch of magnetic dudes, because they're not, it's not getting back small 1/3s, because you're going to magnetize those to make bigger minions. And then those bigger minions are what's going to be coming back off the Kangor's army. And that's turn 7. And I mean, obviously Druid has ramp and stuff, but they don't play silence normally. I don't think there's ever going to be room for silence after this set. Like, they're trying to figure out how to fit in all these new cards that Druid got that are so good. There's no way that they're going to be able to play silences. And I think Kangor's army is just going to be insanely strong if you can build a deck that utilizes it appropriately.
Yep. I agree with that. But speaking of the pre-release events you were talking about, I didn't get a chance to actually watch the live stream. So I was at work and didn't get a chance to watch that. But I really dig the idea of what they did with those pre-releases. I think a lot of people were kind of confused, because I think a lot of people thought that every Fireside Gathering was going to have this ability. And I saw some people on Reddit complain about it, but they were very clear in their post that, hey, this is only a handful of events. This is a list of them. Everything else is just won't have this ability. But I thought it was really cool that you can go there to those events and open up your packs that you have bought and then get to play them in a controlled environment with the Fireside Tavern Brawl. So you got to play it. And I think the coolest thing about that is you get to open your packs before anybody else. And you get to start building your decks and figuring out what you want to play while you're with a bunch of people that are doing the same thing. for the first time. And I think that is really, really cool, because normally on like release day, you see just people streaming and then you're watching them at like work or whatever, because you're stuck at work while everybody else gets to go play Hearthstone. And you're, you know, watching them figure out the decks, and then you go home and you're like, okay, cool. I know what Raynad was playing, so I'm going to go try that out. Or I saw what Ray C was playing, so I'm going to go try that out. So I think it's really cool for that kind of event. Like, I'm really hoping that Kansas City area has one for the next expansion.
Yeah, I think this is like a proof of concept. So if this went off well, which it seems like it did, I wouldn't be surprised if next expansion Blizzard comes out and then just pushes it out to all Fireside Gatherings. That would be really cool if they did that, and I'm all for that.
Like, pre-releases are one of my favorite things about IRL TCGs. Like, going to a Magic the Gathering or a Pokemon, less so Pokemon because they changed it, but at Magic the Gathering, like, that was like the most fun. Like, I would still go to a pre-release today, even though I haven't played the game in years. Like, I would.
Yeah, even when I wasn't playing, I still would go to like a pre-release every once in a while,
like,
because it was so much fun, and I just sell the cards afterwards.
Exactly, like, it's just a limited format where everybody's on the same level too. It's not like you're in a field where somebody can pay more money than you and just be at an advantage. Like, you are at the same level theoretically, like card pool wise, as anybody else. Like, you can introduce your friend who casually plays Hearthstone to a more, I don't want to say, it's not really a competitive environment, but a more like social environment.
Right.
And like, they can have fun at like a pre-release, and then they could gain that experience and say, hey, this was really fun. I want to play this game more now because of this amazing experience that I had and how awesome the community is. So I really hope that they start doing those everywhere, because I was pretty sad that they didn't have one literally anywhere on the East Coast except for New York City. So
there was none, like, in a, like, I would have had to fly to go somewhere.
Yeah,
for me, same. For me to make one.
Same.
Yeah.
Which is obviously, like, it's similar to prelims in the sense that, like, you wish you had, like, a playoff location near you, but there's only so many good venues, and I feel like Blizzard chose a lot of their playoff locations as test spots for this pre-release event, and it looked like it went well. I watched the stream that they did for it, and I really enjoyed watching it because you could see just how well cards were doing. Like, I wasn't thinking War Gear was going to be as powerful as it is right off the bat. I thought that, okay, maybe this is good. It's like a similar to Blessing of Kings, but it's neutral and it can go on any mech. But then you see it in action and it's just like, oh, okay, this is actually insane. Like, putting this on a Goblin Bomb and then hitting face for 5 and then, like, actually just creating a huge threat that effectively has charge is very strong. And then you see the power of all the, like, more common cards, like Explodinator, and the power of Goblin Bomb synergies and all this stuff. And then obviously you see the more fun ideas that people are forced to play because it's pre-release, obviously. You only have access to what you've opened, but you still get a feel for the power level of cards that you didn't really get a feel for, like, just looking at it. Like, it's hard to quantify how good a card is just by looking at it sometimes, but once you get to play it, even in a controlled environment like that, you still can tell it's going to be good.
Yeah, really showed how strong Magnetic was, keyword too, and like how strategic you can be with the card, where it's like, oh, maybe I decide not to magnetize this minion. Like, there's going to be a lot of strategic play just based off of this keyword that's introduced into the game, and I'm like, positioning matters now again, so I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, there's just a lot that I learned from it. I feel like if the pre-release, like, concept, I mean, obviously pre-release have existed for a millennia in real life TCGs, but if the concept of pre-releases in Hearthstone were a thing, we were doing pre-releases a little while back, maybe we would have seen like cards that were sleepers and kind of like picked it up if we saw it played in a pre-release, like Corridor Creeper, for example.
Yeah, you just rhymed. Yeah.
What did I rhyme?
Corridor Creeper being a sleeper.
Oh, yeah, the sleeper creeper, man. We could have, if we had seen that in a pre-release setting where we see a bunch of board-centric games I feel like people would have been like, oh, hey, this card is actually insane, and then kind of translate that thought over to Standard. Because that's what I did when I saw cards like Wargear in action at the pre-release. I was like, oh, no, this is actually just going to be really good in Standard too.
But do you think the pre-release is going to speed up the meta, where it's like, if you didn't have the pre-release, like, we're going to be a couple days ahead of where the meta normally would be? Do you think that we learned enough from this?
I feel like the community as a whole is getting better and better at evaluating cards. I'm not really sure. I think a lot of people were more validated after seeing it in action. So I feel like they would have found it out very quickly on day one. But I feel like this validates it, and now they're more like tuning their lists and stuff. Like, they're not going to have to test out bad ideas or just random things. I feel like they kind of know, have a better idea of what's going to be good with the pre-release being a thing. But I don't really think it's going to speed up the meta.
Interesting. Yeah, I think so too. I just want more pre-release events out there so that I can go to one. So next one will be around BlizzCon though. So I'll already get to play some of the stuff at BlizzCon, right? So
yeah, I'm excited.
I think I'm more looking forward to like next year's release then.
Yeah, that's crazy. I was talking to Albert the other day, and he was telling me, he was like, hey, Ray, did you realize that BlizzCon's only in a few months or something? And I was like, whoa, like, that's crazy to me, man. It doesn't feel like that. It's what, November, yeah. Right? So it's September.
It's the first week in November.
So it's literally only three months away.
Yeah, it's 3 months away.
That's crazy to me. It feels like BlizzCon already just happened. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting pumped for it. I'm entering convention season here, because at the end of this month I'll be gone for a week because I go to Dragon Con every year, and I'm super excited about that, because they're gonna have the payload tour there this year, so Overwatch will be there, so that'll be cool to go and get my little pin that you can get, and then you know, it feels like not too long after that BlizzCon.
Yeah, it's creeping up.
But anyway, we had some card reviews that we wanted to go over, and I think we've got about 10 or 11 cards here that were revealed last week or during the final stream. So let's jump over into those. And the first card, I believe, was a Mage Legendary.
Yes, it was.
That is called Luna's Pocket Galaxy, and it's the Mage Legendary spell that costs 7 mana. And the text on the card says, "Change the cost of minions in your deck to 1."
Yeah,
that's kind of crazy.
I mean, it costs 7 mana, so it's like once you do it, obviously it's nuts. But it's a legendary. It costs 7 mana. It's actually just like a dead top deck if you get it like too late in the game. But I think there's going to be some cool combos with it that a lot of people are sleeping on right now because of Baleful Banker.
Wouldn't this just fit in with Malygos?
Yes, but
Malygos, Faceless Manipulator. Fireball to the face.
The thing is, if you draw your Malygos, you can't play it and then banker it.
Oh, that's true.
There's.
Oh yeah, because it's in your deck,
right? That's where it's hard. It's more difficult with Malygos because you can't really Malygos and play Baleful Banker effectively. So that's a bit harder. But you could just throw Malygos and stuff like that into a deck that also plays like an Antonitis combo. Because if you draw Antonitis, when you draw Luna's Pocket Galaxy, you can play Antonitis, Baleful Banker it, and then if you don't immediately draw it the next turn, you'll get an Antonitis reduced to 1. It's a bit slow, but if you get Antonitis reduced to 1 and then you have stuff like Sorcerer's Apprentices that also get reduced to 1, you can just have a Quest Mage-esque combo, and then you can also just throw in other big dudes. Like, you could play Malygos if you want to. You could just play a bunch of big minions to go along with it since you're not playing Quest Mage cards, and then you just get a bunch of big minions reduced to 1 and get them.
Imagine hitting this card off of Primordial Glyph. You hit glyph, yeah, and then you get this for 5 mana, turn 5, everything costs 1.
Yeah, that's another thing I'm thinking about. Like, play a Freeze Mage deck that just has Luna's Pocket Galaxy, Antonitis, and Big Boys. It just seems like fun. And then sometimes you just high roll glyph and immediately win the game. Oof, yeah. Oh baby. There's not that many mage spells. Like, there are a lot of mage spells, obviously, but it's fresh. It's only one set after rotation. Like, the pool isn't actually that big. It's, yeah. It's the odds aren't zero. They're probably like 5 to 10% maybe.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more down on it because Primordial Glyph is horrible and wild because there's just so many spells. So it's probably like a fraction of a percent in wild.
Oh yeah, and I mean, and wild Discover cards in general, just, I mean, some of them are better, I guess, but I feel like majority of the time they're just worse.
Yeah, unless it's specifically focused where it's like Discover a Taunt minion. Like if it's in Paladin, you have the whatchamacallit, the 3-mana dude, Stonehill Defender. Like, that's still good in Paladin, but, like, in general, there are just so many bad cards in Hearthstone that Discover from a really big pool is frequently bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this card is actually really interesting for Wild, too, because you have the Exodia Mage combo, where you do an Emperor Thorisson tick, and then Archmage Antonitis, and the Sorcerer's Apprentice. And this just adds redundancy into that deck. So that's the initial thought that the Wild community is thinking about for this card. So if you can go and play this instead of while your Antonitis isn't still in your deck, then you can pull it out and you don't need to play Emperor Thorisson at that point. So it's really interesting.
Yeah, it's a bit scary as well on some level, but it costs 7. So I'm not that afraid of it being kind of like abused in any way. Like, I think it's definitely slow enough that it's going to be fair, and it's going to be a good way to just punish like control decks and maybe even be fast. I doubt it will be fast enough to beat Melee Ghost, but maybe like turn 7 you do it, and then turn 8 you draw some cards and get a bunch of 1-mana threats, and Melee Ghost hasn't killed you yet. So
it does synergize pretty well with the Stargazer Luna, where it's like you draw if you play the rightmost card. So if all your minions cost 1, and then you play the Luna, and then you just draw off of all these 1-mana cards, that could be pretty good.
Yeah, that's a pipe dream, because I feel like...
Yeah, no, that is definitely a pipe dream.
You're going to be playing a lot of spells, you gotta look at it. But cards like Polymorph and Hex get so powerful with Magnetic now, because you're 2, yeah, any 2 for 1. Effect.
Yeah,
silence doesn't kill them, though. Silence separates them.
Yeah, well, it gets rid of... most of the time with the Magnetic, though, you're seeing it being played on, like, really big buffs, like War Gear, where it's like, if you can take off a like a 5-5 on whatever minion that got whatever it was played on, like, that's fairly significant.
Oh, I thought it just separated them. Like, a 5-5 would still be on the board afterwards.
No, it'll go in and it'll just... like, imagine, like, it... the War Gear turns into a Blessing of Kings. It just buffs the minion +5/+5, and then the +5/+5 gets silenced off.
Ooh.
Silence is going to be super powerful this expansion.
And they didn't print anymore, so I feel like they just are done with silence and charge. And that
they
makes...
are. They are.
Yeah.
They said that a long time ago.
Did they say that was silence too?
Yep.
They think that silence is an unfun effect. Obviously, it needs to have an aspect in the game, but, I mean, that's why they nerfed Ironbeak Owl, because just 2-mana silence was too, too good.
And the Druid card, too.
Mm.
The one that we never see anymore that we used to see all the time in every Druid deck ever.
Keeper of Lore, I think.
Keeper of the Grove.
It was a Keeper.
Yeah.
Not anymore, though.
A card. I mean, they all got nerfed, but I feel like they could still make silence cards, but just be more creative with them. I don't know.
I like the targeted silence. They have the one where it's like silence a demon. It would be really cool if you make a well-statted silence. It's like silence a mech, because the current mech that we have, like the mech hate card, the 5-mana 3/3 kill a mech, that's just a bad hate card. You have to be specifically targeting big mechs, And like, I mean, obviously that's what's going to be coming our way, but still, if like someone plays like one of those, like a 1-mana, 1/3 mech, you don't play that on you. It feels really bad to have to play a 5-mana, 3/3 to kill that.
Yeah, you mean like more of a like 3-mana, 3/4 type deal,
or it sounds something that you could play, and it's like, oh, if I have to play this as a tempo play against my against the decks that aren't mech decks, that's okay. Like Galaka Crawler is probably just overpowered, but like something along those stat lines, a 2-mana, 2/3, something that's vanilla as is, and then it has a silence or a kill effect. Yeah. That's really what you're looking for.
I think Galaka Crawler would have been balanced and fine if they had just taken away the +1/+1. That was overkill. It's just like, I'm going to destroy your pirate and just buff myself. Like, that's nuts. That's such a huge totem swing. Golem. That's such a huge swing.
Yeah. And then at that point, too, I mean, everyone was playing pirates because of patches. So at that point, it's like, oh, yeah, it's almost guaranteed in any aggressive deck to completely destroy them.
That was so toxic. It was just like, even your pirate decks were playing Galaka sometimes just because eating patches and making a totem golem is like not even bad.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to the second card. So we have a neutral legendary called Subject 9, which is 5-mana, 4 attack, 4 health. It's a beast with a battle cry, draw 5 different secrets from your deck.
They should have named it Subject 800 because that's the amount of dust you're getting, or 400.
You know, it does have some application in Hunter. Because drawing cards in Hunter is fairly significant because you just can't do that in general. So it being a beast, and typically when you're playing Hunter, you play maybe 3 different secrets. But if you draw 3 secrets from this card, I'm not too angry. The issue is Cloak Huntress still in Standard?
No. I was saying that card would be good if Cloaked Huntress was in Standard, but without Cloaked Huntress, like, if you're going to play, like, excess of, like, 3 or 4 secrets, I don't know, I feel like you're just making your deck worse more often than not, because you're going to be drawing those secrets more than you're going to be drawing test subject.
But couldn't I just put this down on, like, turn 5 as a paladin, and then turn 6 just play, like, all 5 of my secrets, and wouldn't that just be like a secret paladin, like a poor man's secret paladin? No, that sounds terrible.
It's a crappy mysterious challenger.
I was joking.
Yeah.
No, this is bad.
I mean, if you want to draw those 1-mana secrets, you do you.
I mean, this card's probably going to have some use in Wild and Secret Hunter. Like, Secret Hunter is happy to see this card with Cloak Huntress and all that other synergy, but you guys aren't going to see it.
Yeah. It's, if there was like a Kirin Tor Mage that was like a put all the secrets into play, maybe you see it in like a Secret Mage that has that, but that doesn't exist. So that,
well, they did make the thing like, what is it, Piloted Reaper, which is the semi-reprint of Piloted Shredder, where it takes it from your hand and puts it into the battlefield. Maybe they do that in Paladin next expansion. They do, Mysterious Reaper, and then you play that, and then it puts all the secrets from your hand into the battlefield.
I'd rather just play the 4-mana card that already exists that puts secrets onto the battlefield from my deck, so I don't have to draw them.
Yep.
That's like the problem with secrets and cards that draw secrets and stuff, is that you have to play the secrets in your deck, and drawing them normally is usually bad if you're playing more than 2 in the deck, because decks like Hunter and stuff, they want the secrets that they play because they're not bad, like Wandering Monster and whatever it is.
Unless the card is like decently statted, like Arcanologist.
Oh yeah, this card's not even statted.
Because that's a lot of play.
What, a 4/4?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a 5-mana 4/4.
Got the beast tag though. No, that doesn't matter.
Got the beast tag. Alright, so the next card is the Warlock Legendary Minion. called Dr. Morrigan. And she is an 8-mana 5/5 with Death Rattle. Swap this with a minion from your deck. So it's similar to Alarmabot, except it's not from your hand.
Yeah.
There's a card that does this, right? There was the panda shaman lady.
Or the panda. You play, yeah, the panda.
Yeah.
But you could do it with, like, in Shaman, like, that card wasn't bad in certain decks because you could just make a totem and then do that. And then it was in Control Shaman. I remember everybody was trying that deck the week that there was the Wild Tavern Brawl, the Wild Heroic Tavern Brawl, because VLPS made a deck that played a bunch of just good Death Rattle cards, like Piloted, or the Sneed's Old Shredder, yep. Just a bunch of big dudes. I think Malygos was even in it. I don't really remember, but that card was good in that thing. But in an archetype where you don't really have a way to make your own creatures, it's pretty...
Well, you have to kill this minion, right? It's when the minion dies. Yeah. But yeah, it's the card's not good. It might as well be named Dr. More Dust because you're going to dust it.
There was, like, there's big warlock potential, I guess, but I don't really see it. Honestly, I think this card is bad and or has some type of meme potential. I don't know what the meme potential is, like what's going to trigger the Death Rattle into doing something, but I don't know. I feel like there's probably some meme potential there. I'm going to let this guy's toast figure that out.
I think Warlock just needed some bad legendaries.
That is true. Warlock is just very strong in general, just as a control deck.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess they just couldn't give Warlock more good cards, even though they did.
With Solarium.
The Solarium, draw 3 cards. I mean, that's such a good zoo card, though. That's such a bad... Like, they're not giving control Warlock better cards. That's true. Like, that card is not good in control Warlock.
That's true.
It's good in Zoo and theoretically Quest Warlock. But if Quest Warlock's a thing, God bless Blizzard because they've been trying to make that a thing. They try so hard. Like that poor guy who's a designer who's just like, yeah, let's make this card. And he's thinking it's going to be the best Quest Warlock card ever. People are going to be hyped on it. And then it's just like the best Zoo card ever printed.
So the next card we're going to talk about is the Shaman Legendary Spell. It's the Stormbringer. It's 7-mana, and the text on it says, transform your minions into random legendary minions.
I mean, it's actually not bad in even shot. Okay, it doesn't go in even shot.
It can't.
It's not bad in even shaman, guys. Okay, let me explain this. It's good in even shaman because it gives them a finisher. In the sense that you play Arcane Dynamo, which is a 6-mana 3/4 battle cry, discover a spell that costs 5 or more. Shaman does not have many spells.
How do you play this in Shaman?
Arcane Dynamo, 6-mana 3/4 battle cry. It's a minion. Battle cry, discover a spell that costs five or more.
So by discovering
you discover it off of that almost every time that you play that card. It's either this or Bloodlust.
That's true.
You're like the percentage of discovering Bloodlust or the legendary is very, very high.
I think there's only 5 shaman spells in standard that are above 5 cost. You have Volcano, Bloodlust, right? Eureka, Stormbringer, and there's one more.
The Spellstone.
Yeah, the Spellstone. But so, yeah, you. I think that the percentage that you will hit one of those two, either Bloodlust or the Stormbringer, is really, really high.
It is. It is.
That's like 80%, 90%. That's where I think
the realistic use of the Shaman Legendary Spell, Storm Surge, I think that is the realistic use that you're going to see it, and you're going to see it a lot because it gets it most of the time. But on its own, like I don't think you're actually going to physically play it in a Shaman deck right now because it's too slow, and board-centric Shaman decks that aren't even Shaman aren't really a thing. But people are thinking Overload Shaman might have some gas with the new 4-drop that makes Sparks, but I don't know. I'll have to see. I don't think that deck will even play Storm Surge. I think that even Shaman is the most likely candidate to actually make use of Storm Surge, and they're not even playing the card in the deck, which is pretty funny.
I just like the idea of my totems now potentially becoming legendary minions. I think that's
especially when
cool.
Your totems cost 1 mana,
right? Or yeah. But yeah, I just Anytime I see anything changing something into random legendary minions, I'm just like, There's too many bad legendaries. Yeah. Or too many bad legendaries. That, like, you just get and you're like, oh, cool. Because they have battle cries, you know, or stuff like that. And you're like, all right, this is a poorly statted minion, but I guess I changed my totems into it. So that's cool. But
I don't know why I kept calling it Storm Surge. It's the Stormbringer. There's actually a meme. The Storm Chaser is a minion that's battle cry draw a spell from your deck that costs 5 or more. So the Storm Chaser draws the Stormbringer. Then the storm. Now the storm is here. He was chasing a little bit too close.
All right. So the next card is the Druid Legendary Spell, which I'm surprised Juicy Psychmelon that we talked about last week was not the legendary spell. But this is a one mana spell called Floop's Glorious Gloop. And the text says, whenever a minion dies this turn, gain one mana crystal this turn only.
Hoo-wee. And this is just the best named card in Hearthstone's history, regardless of whether or not it's a good card. 10 out of 10. 100%. I mean, this is going to be a good card, though. Like, it's whenever a minion dies, not your minion, whenever a minion dies, you get a mana crystal that you can use this turn. So if you're ever in a state where, like, maybe mid-game, because I think there's going to be a lot of aggro this meta. Like, you got a lot of aggro that you're trying to beat, and you play, so you just play something that gives you minions, whatever it is, spreading plague, whatever. You're playing against something like a paladin that makes a lot of tokens. Like, you play this, you swipe face, and now all of a sudden you have 5 mana crystals. That's pretty good. It lets you not lose tempo on turns where you have to clear a board.
Yeah, it makes Corridor Creeper come out a lot sooner, right?
What?
The Corridor Creeper makes it come out a lot sooner because everybody's playing that still, right?
I'm just thinking, I'm going to play this, I'm going to trade stuff on the board, and then I'm going to have Ultimate Infestation on turn. You could play this in token. Okay, in token Druid. Imagine Treant token Druid is a thing, because I actually think landscaping, which is the new Druid spell that summons 2/2 Treants for 3 mana, is actually very good. And if there's a token Druid, imagine playing this on, like, turn 4 or 5 in, like, a token Druid versus Zeus scenario, where you're going to trade off and probably 4-5 minions or more are just going to die. So you're at, like, 5 mana because you just played a bunch of tokens. And it's your next turn. And you're facing down, like, another board. And you're just going to trade off you're going to play this, trade off the whole board, and all of a sudden you have Ultimate Infestation mana on turn 5.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
This card is...
Like, that stuff...
No, sorry.
That's what my nightmares are made out of.
Well, come over to Wilds, and your nightmares are going to be made even worse. This is arguably the strongest card in Druid for Wild because of Poison Seeds. So, Poison Seeds...
Ooh.
When you play this in Poison Seeds, you almost guaranteed will have... either the ability to play Spreading Plague if you need to afterwards, or Ultimate Infestation. So, like, we didn't realize this for a while, but, like, this card is going into every single Druid deck that is playing Poison Seeds, which is every single slow Druid deck. So, like, this is completely busted in Wild.
I didn't even think, like, because Poison Seeds technically kills everything.
Yeah, it kills every minion on board.
Yep.
That's insane, man.
Rip.
So you're gonna just you're gonna go positive on mana crystals.
Yeah,
and then you can kill off 2/2s if you want to. That's crazy. Like, oh my god.
Yeah, I know. It's absurd. This is the
why do they think Druid needs this?
I know. They gave Druid so much this expansion. It comes down to Wild. There's like 40 cards you want to put into a Druid deck now.
Like, even in, like, Maligos Druid, if you play Spreading Plague to contest the board, and then you have, like, 10 mana, you could just go Maligos, Floops, Glorious Gloop, and then just, like, trade off the board, or trade some stuff, get enough mana to use, like, a swipe, and then kill everything. That's crazy.
Yeah, and it's also progressive, too. So if you were able to go and play a Malygos and then swipe the board and then kill a bunch of your opponent's minions, because you're going to kill everything on board, you get more mana, too.
Yeah, I know. And then you just kill them. That's crazy. Like, you kill their board, and then as a reward for killing their board, you get to kill them. That's so dumb. I don't understand. This is why I'm saying I feel like the meta is going to evolve around being able to kill Malygos Druid before they do crazy things because of cards like this, man. Like, this plus Flabinus Fluke plus Biology, like, ugh. And they have Juicy Psych Melon to make it consistent.
Yeah.
That's just, like, control decks just aren't going to be a thing anymore because Malygos, like, there's no way to stop them. Like, you can't stop your opponent from playing Malygos. It's not really a thing. And you can't stop, like, the only way to stop them from comboing off and killing you is to kill them first. And that's why I think the magnetic keyword is going to be so important for this upcoming metagame. I'm just afraid.
Yeah, I think aggro is going to be pretty important and is going to end up being pretty big.
I'm just afraid that, like, all control decks are not going to be a thing anymore. And any deck that's, like, somewhat resembles control, like Big Mage, for example, is going to have to go towards a more combo route where you're not going to be able to play Big Mage anymore. You're going to have to play like Luna's Pocket Galaxy Freeze Combo Mage.
So what you're saying is you need to not invest in Bitcoin Mage right now.
Well, it's still Big Mage. It's just...
You build it completely differently now. Yeah.
The bubble has happened. It's going to crash, guys.
I mean... Every bubble has to pop at some point. All that money I lost in crypto. No, I'm kidding. I don't have money for that. But I definitely just brought a tear to everyone's eye who did. Oh, God. Or souls.
So the next card is the Hunter Legendary spell called Flark's Boomzooka. And it's 8 mana. And its text is, summon 3 minions from your deck. They attack enemy minions, then die. That's a card.
It's a ridiculous effect, though. I mean, you would have to build the deck like Chalky did when he played on stream against Day 9, where you play Abominable Bowman, and then you play a bunch of large beasts. But I don't think that's good. That's the way you use this card.
They'd have to have some kind of cool death rattle effect, too, right?
Yeah, so...
Like, wouldn't you want that?
Yeah, I think you want that. You could also, I mean, in Wilds, you have all the eggs, so, like, your eggs will just die, but, I mean, this is too slow for that deck.
I mean, this is... Obviously, it needs to be built around, right? Like, you need to be playing the death rattles, but I don't want to underrate it, because I've seen decks like that be very successful, which I never thought would be a thing. Like, the, Big Hunter that we saw at one point last metagame where Big Hunter ended up spiking in popularity and doing really well. I never thought that Big Hunter was really gonna be anything other than a meme, and then it did really well, and I feel like this card would slot in perfectly with something like a Big Hunter. Old me would say this is dust. The old Racy, the 591 Racy, he would say this was dust in a heartbeat, but I'm reformed now. And I think it has potential. There we go.
There you go. You need to invest in Flark's Boomzooka.
Whoa, I did not say that.
Misquoted. Fake news.
Fake news, buddy.
Or put it on your watch list as potential investing. No.
This is your risky right. bet.
No. Risky bet.
This is yes, very risky. Very risky, would not advise.
Not for the faint of heart.
Not for the faint of heart. Probably lose all, probably a Ponzi scheme.
So, speaking of cards that you should be investing in, probably for dust, we have a neutral legendary minion, Harbinger Celestia. It's a 4 mana, 5/6. It's a really good stats for 4 mana, right? It gets stealth, so you got that going for you. But the text reads, after your opponent plays a minion, become a copy of it.
Oh, man, this is going to be a Firefly.
Yeah. Yay.
You think that? I could honestly see this card being played as a pseudo counter to Maligos.
Mm-hmm.
Because they only play Floop and Maligos and the 7 drop. So you could play this on 4 and then just it's a 5/6 for 4, which could be a beat stick.
Yeah.
Right? Like you could just be a very good minion against decks that don't play any minions. But it's very niche and I don't really think it's going to see play.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a counter card. Like go ahead, I dare you to play that minion because I'm going to have a copy of it too. And
a really good comparison with this card is to Mirror Entity, right? Where it's like a mirror entity that your opponent knows that's there, but your minion gets charge as well. So in any deck where it's like the issue with that is that when you're playing against mage, you don't know if it's counterspell, you don't know if it's mirror entity. So you sometimes play a bad minion into it. Like, you know that this is here, but this has the same effect really as mirror entity.
Mm. Yeah. I think its uses are too limited for it to actually see any decent play, although I think it could see play in tournaments more than ladder, because especially in last year of standing, where you're knowing what you're going to be playing against, and I feel like Maligos is going to be a popular deck. I think that...
You don't think it's going to be auto-banned every time?
I feel like there's a lot of people that like to go the route of countering it as opposed to banning it. And this card fits really well in those kind of decks. So that's where I feel like its main use is going to be. But I don't think it's dust, for me at least, since I have to play in tournaments. For an average ladder player, it's probably dust.
Yeah. I don't know. Like it's an interesting card in the fact that you can use it as a counterplay. I'll give it that. But I'm not like super excited for it, or I just don't see like it's one of those like it's a tech card. It's mostly what it is. Yeah. And I think it's a tech card you're not going to see very often.
I think it's safe to dust if you open it on day one and you don't see yourself playing in a big tournament anytime soon. I think it's very safe to call it dust.
Yeah, but man, I'm just not a fan of dusting cards right off the bat, because then you're just going to open it again later.
I mean, with that attitude, you will.
Yep. You're damn right. So the next card, Ray, you talked about this card earlier. You're very excited about it. War Gear. It's a neutral common. It's a 5-mana 5/5. It's a mech, and it has magnetic.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward when you look at the card. I mean, there's really not any text on it besides magnetic. But it's what a lot of people are calling the bone marrow of the set, in the sense that it just lets you push a lot of damage.
Yep.
And bone marrow got nerfed. I think this card is probably not at that level, but it's a neutral Blessing of Kings, basically. That's not even a spell, so like you can't really get countered or anything like that. But yeah, it's a very strong, aggressive card, and it makes a big boy out of your mix.
The big thing that you have to consider about the card, though, is that it is a mech, so you have to be playing a mech shell around it. So it's not going to be, unless like Odd Rogue becomes like a mech deck, which I don't think it will. You can't run it in every aggressive deck, which is why I think you can. I think that it's probably on the same power level of Bone Mare, but it's just going to have less decks that it'll fit into, because you were putting Bone Mare in every single.
True,
deck.
You're right. I feel like in my mind, the way I see a lot of the aggro decks being is like you're going to play Explodinator on turn 4, and then you're going to curve out into Fungomancer or War Gear, and that's like, and they're all going to play Mecharoo, which is effectively a neutral possessed villager that's a mech. And I feel like those two cards alone, plus maybe one other card, like one other mech that you could fit in there, is like enough cards that becomes good. I don't know though, maybe I'm going to be wrong on that. And it's not going to fit in Odd Rogue, obviously, because the Explodinator is 4 mana. But Zoo, I feel like Zoo is definitely going to want to go that route. Especially since Zoo's already so board-centric. Cards that just make Goblin Bombs seem very strong. Hunter is 100% going in the mech direction. And that's where I really feel this card's going to be insane. Yeah. Is like Mech Hunter and Mech Paladin. The Paladin is also the other deck that's going to be mech-centric, aggro, mid-rangey. Hunter's going to be more aggressive than Paladin, but Paladin's still going to be very aggressive and mid-rangey. And those, I feel like those are the aggro decks that I see being relevant in the next format. I might be wrong, though. They might just not be good enough, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
Yeah. The next card, Ray kind of talked about a little bit, is another neutral common called Mekaru. And Mekaru is a one mana, one attack, one health mech that has a death rattle. Summon a 1/1 Joey bot.
Yeah, that was the problem I found when I did the card reviews, was there's so much synergy in this set that like you can't talk about every card at the same time, so you're referring to cards as a reason for X card to be good when you haven't actually talked about that card yet.
Yeah, we ran into that a lot as well when I did my card reviews.
Yeah, but
yeah, because this card basically, I mean, this is as you said, like this one, Mekaru and Explodinator kind of feel like they fit into a package. And we'll just add Explodinator on this as well real quick. Explodinator is also a common mech, neutral common. That's 4 mana, 3 attack, 2 health, with Battle Cry, summon 2 O2 Goblin Bombs. And if you remember before, Goblin Bombs have Death Rattle of deal 2 damage to an enemy minion. And they're mechs as well.
And they're O2s.
Yeah, O2 mech, which is...
What's really interesting about Explodinator was I didn't think that this card was going to be really good until I saw the pre-release stream. Like, when I saw that on the stream, it instantly changed the opinion of this card for me. Like, I realized that putting 3 bodies on the board is significant.
Especially for 4 mana, and the bodies aren't susceptible to just dying to, like, hero powers either.
And if they like, die, they do damage.
They do damage, but I think the bodies are just actually very difficult for a lot of decks to deal with. Like, Druid can't swipe away the 3/2 and kill both the Goblin Bombs, and that's huge because then next turn you can Fungomancer or you can just Wargear. Like, I don't think that there's any good way for decks outside of Warlock to deal with all the bodies at once unless they already have a board.
Yeah, especially on 4 mana too. You think about Blizzard being a counter to it, but that's 2 turns too late.
Yeah, like Mage, their AoE is too slow. And I feel like this is also just good against Mage as well, because you're getting the Goblin Bombs, and a lot of the time against Mage as an aggro deck, you're really struggling to deal those last few points of damage after they stabilize. But when you play something like Explodinator, Mage using AoE then just becomes a conundrum for them, because if they Blizzard the board, they're taking 4 damage. So,
which does add up over time, yeah.
Yeah, that adds up a lot, especially against a deck that's already aggressive like Hunter or Paladin or something like that. Now you're just a weapon swing or a hero power and a kill command away from just being dead. 4 damage is a lot.
Yeah, there's the common mechs that are in this deck are kind of scary, especially with the synergy that you get with Magnetic.
I kind of like that they're commons, honestly. Like, it makes the game really affordable. Like, I started playing some other like TCGs, not really like competitively or anything, just for fun, because our team picked up Shadowverse players, so I was like, oh, I'll check out what that is. And then you see like how much effective like dust it would cost, or like how many packs you'd have to buy to like make a deck, and you're like, oh my god, like this is actually insane. I am not gonna spend any money on this game, so I'm just never playing it. And I feel like that's the plight of half the Hearthstone community on Reddit, and they're sort of getting satisfied, I guess, with this if these decks end up being good. So they're very cheap, and there hasn't really been a good cheap deck in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially like back when Patches was around, you had to put that in every single aggro deck. You had to put Double Corridor Creeper in every single aggro deck. Like the most recent standard aggro decks that were like good, all that you had to require all of those like really expensive cards.
Yeah, I think Zoo is like the closest. Like, last format Zoo where it played Voodoo Doctors, like, the closest you get to cheap aggro deck.
Yeah.
And even that sometimes plays.
Except now in Zoo, you have to play the Legendary.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, but there's going to be a lot of other options now, like Hunter and, I guess, Pat.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
I'm just really digging Hunter, man. That's the first thing I'm going to do. I'm just going to play Hunter and just get him.
Got him.
I'm just going to get him. Everybody's going to be playing their fun, herpty-derpty deck or Maligos, and I'm just going to be like, face, face, face.
You're dead.
Explodinator, yep. War Gear, more to the face. Oh, it's going to be fun. I'm ready.
I'm just gonna play Whizbang and hit Legend. Yep. That's what I'm going to do.
What were you saying, Danny?
I was just going to say, before we move on to the next card, I'm looking at the list of cards here, and right next to it, there's Piloted Reaper. I do want to mention that there's a ridiculous synergy for Even Shaman that is coming up this expansion, because Piloted Reaper, the 4-mana, 4/3, Death Rattle, summon a random minion from your hand that costs 2 or less. So this will pull out, at least in Wild, we have the aggressive version of Even Shaman, where you're running Thing from Below and Sea Giant, and when those are 2 or less in your hand, they're going to be pulled out by Piloted Reaper. So this card is going to, like, I haven't heard anyone talk about this, but this card's going into Even Shaman.
I wonder if Even Shaman...
This is like a synergy that very many people have overlooked.
I wonder if Even Shaman in Standard could go away from the Corpse Taker package and adopt a Piloted Reaper package. And you already play Sea Giants in that deck as well, so that'd be something really interesting to see, especially if other aggressive decks are popular. I think that something like that with Sea Giant could be a thing. That's something I want to try now, and then once I get rank 1 Legend, I'll be like, yeah, so I got this idea from Danny from Wild.
Yeah, it seems that that happened a lot last expansion. There are a lot of ideas that just inherently have synergies that are stronger in Wild, like the Recruit Hunter. And then all of a sudden, and like Togwaggle Druid, like they started out in Wild, like day one people were playing them. And then as time went along and as cards were nerfed, they came back into the Standard scene. And I believe Sippy Wee had mentioned that a couple times. He's like, man, these decks were here about a month ago in Wild, and now they're coming into Standard.
Yeah.
So the next card that we're going to talk about is a Paladin spell that was revealed, I think, a day after our last episode. It's called Prismatic Lens. It's 4 mana, and the text on it, it's an epic. The text on it is draw a minion and a spell from your deck, and then swap their costs.
This is honestly a card that hurts my brain, and I'm going to let somebody else figure it out. There's going to be some combo with it.
Yep.
I just don't want to think about it because it makes my brain hurt. And
there are Danny, other people who like it. Danny, you wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, there's a Wild interaction with this. The people have been playing Spiteful Summoner, Anyfin Can Happen. So the idea is you play Prismatic Lens and you get your Anyfin to cost four, whatever minion you're playing minions up to 5 and maybe 6 mana, but if you can get Anything Can Happen down to 4, 5, 6 mana, maybe even to 2 if you hit a blue Gill Warrior, like that becomes broken. So this is going to be at least pushing that archetype into viability.
Yeah, and Standard, I just I'm having a hard time with it, like Ray, because I feel like you have to play either one minion in your deck or one spell to.
Well, the big thing that I see for Paladin is that it's going to be very heavy on the mech synergies, mm-hmm. which leads to a lot of minion centric decks.
Right.
So I have a feeling that you could play this and potentially, like you said, Dino Size or maybe even Khadgar's Army, right? Where you all of a sudden it costs 2 mana or whatever for if you're playing some of these cheap minions. So I see that it will probably have some application in Standard. But for me, I'm focusing on the Wild aspect, and it's not that hard to build a deck based around just minions and Paladin.
I mean, you do draw 2 cards, too, so that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, well, that's an upside as well, yeah.
The thing is, like, there's really no good Paladin spells that are heavy. But, like, there's Dino Size, and there's Khangor's Endless Army, and that's it. because like you're gonna have small minions, so you're probably not gonna want something like Lay on Hands. That just doesn't seem that great. I don't really know what else is gonna be good. I feel like there's gonna be a combo with minions more so than the other way around. But that's kind of awkward as well, where like you have Prismatic Lens and maybe you play Secrets or something, so they're one mana. And then you also have the second Prismatic Lens that you could draw, which is scary, because that could mess up some type of potential combo that you're going for.
Well, if you draw into Prismatic Lens, right, where you swap it and then... you talked about the spell. Yeah, that can happen. If you're going with small minions and just big spells, the swap is fairly okay, because then your Prismatic Lens cost one, and then your whatever minion, your one drop or whatever, costs four. So that's not too bad if you're going on the heavy spell, but if you're going on the heavy minion side, then it's a little bit shakier to run two copies.
Yeah, because then your Prismatic Lens costs like 8 or 10 or something, whatever you're going for.
Yeah.
So it's like pretty much impossible to use the second copy, and then your combo, instead of costing one, I imagine like whatever you're going to be doing, you're not going to want it to get messed up. And I don't know. I just don't see a deck playing a bunch of one mana secrets, but maybe they play it with, no, I don't know. I really can't think of anything. This card, I'm going to let somebody else figure this one out.
Maybe you play it with Subject 9, huh?
Oh my God. I'll let you figure this one out, Benny.
I'm taking it to the bank in wild. Yeah, I have nothing for you in standard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've tried to think about this card, and then I get a headache and I stop thinking about it. It makes me happy.
So Prismatic Lens makes Ray's head hurt.
Those. Prismatic headache.
Prismatic headache. All right. So the final card that we have on our list, this one came out a little while ago, but I think we just kind of missed talking about it. Is a rogue rare minion called Pogo Hopper. It's 2 mana. It's a 1/1 mech. It has battle cry of gain +2/+2 for each other Pogo Hopper you played this game.
Oh, baby.
So there's going to be people making Pogo Hopper decks for sure. So I'm
definitely going to make
making
a Pogo
bigger and bigger,
deck.
Bigger and bigger bunnies.
Pogo Rogo, baby. You're ain't ready for it.
Pogo Rogo.
Rogo has so many good cards with that. Like Lab Recruiter, shuffle 3 more Pogo Rogo into your deck. Lab Recruiter. So, yeah, Lab Recruiter. Yep, that's it,
yep.
Actually.
Lab Recruiter is a card.
Yeah, that's it.
You have all the bounce effects, too.
You
where
do.
It's like, if you want to go and... you're not obviously playing this in Quest Rogue, but you can use some of the stuff that's already there in Quest Rogue and bounce it back to your hand a bunch of times.
You have Myra's Unstable Element to like fatigue yourself. You play Pogo Hopper, you play Lab Recruiter, and then now all you can draw is Pogo Rogos. And it's a mech, so when you magnetize something to it, when you shuffle copies back into your deck, the magnetic is also, like, I think that's how that works, right? Like you.
Originally I would say no, but with this new change, I am not sure. There was a change to how things get, like...
Yeah, with the...
changed, yeah.
With the Kingsbane?
With the Kingsbane thing. Like, they did that to Dire Frenzy, right? Where if you play the Dire Frenzy on a boar and it gets shuffled in, and then, like, you copy it, you use a Mind Visions and Priest, you get the buffed minion in your hand. So that might work. I'm not really sure about that interaction.
That's something I want to test, because if that works, I think that Pogo Hopper has some potential, because you could play it, buff it, shuffle it, and now all of a sudden, like, all your Pogo Hoppers are just massive, and they can still get magnetized with other things. Like, if you go Pogo Hopper into War Gear, into shuffling it, like, you're getting big, big dudes. Maybe not War Gear, just because that's, like, very expensive, but there's a bunch of other magnetic cards that you could combine it with, like Skaterbot or something. I don't really know exactly.
I think people are more excited for this card than for the meme potential than I just, I don't know. I downplayed Quest Rogue before it was gross. So maybe we'll see the same thing here.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm still excited to try it either way, honestly. But
yeah. So that anything else on Poco Hopper?
No.
So yeah, so that does it for all of our cards. If you guys wanted to hear the rest of our reviews, go back to the previous couple episodes.
And if you want to watch me or Danny review the whole set for 5 hours or so, do you know where you did that?
Yeah, so you can find that on, for me at least, on the Into the Wild podcast. It came out earlier this morning, so you'll be able to find that there. It's the only podcast that you'll find that's 6.5 hours.
That's insane. For me...
Put on your diapers to listen to that. Jeez.
Or at least listen to it at double speed, right?
Hot Meow streamed ours on hotmeow_HS on Twitch. There's a VOD. He's trying to upload it to YouTube, but honestly, he's really struggling with that.
He's got to take so much time to go up online, right? It might break your computer.
I mean, he was like getting mad that like he chopped it up into 10 parts, and he's like frustrated that like an hour long video is taking like 2 hours to upload to Dropbox so he can send it or to YouTube or whatever. He's like, this is taking so long to render and upload. I don't get it. And I was like, man, my computer takes like 2 hours to upload an episode of Well Met, and that's not even a video.
He's on the struggle bus for that, man. I tell you what, I love Google Fiber. I can never go back.
I wish I didn't live in the forest.
But what are you guys mostly excited about in this next set? What are you playing out of the gate?
I'm 100% playing Mech Hunter.
Like Mech Hunter. Yeah.
That's just, I'm just really excited for Mech Hunter. I'm excited to try the Rogue idea. I have to see if the magnetic plus shuffle works. Because if that works, I have a lot of exciting Rogue ideas. But my initial one is going to be trying out the Hunter deck, because I put a lot of stock in Explodinator, and I feel like a lot of other people didn't have that on their top 10 list when they did a review, and I had it on my top 10 list before the pre-release happened. So
I'm invest in Explodinator.
I'm hoping I'm right. Like, that feels, it's a feels good, man, when you like review a card that everybody else kind of skipped over and you're like, no, this card's gonna be real good, and you're right, but I could be wrong. So I'm gonna test that out to see if I'm right or not.
What about you, Danny? What are you playing out of the gate?
So the literal first deck that I will be playing, while everyone's playing really crappy decks, I'm going to be playing a crappy deck as well, and I'm going to try to play Mecha C'Thun Druid, because I want to see that go off, and I will play my first 10 or so games with that. But after that, I want to try these new mech synergies out in Wild, so the one that really is apparent to me is Mech Paladin, because you just have the aggressive core from GVG with like Mech Warper and Piloted Shredder, and then you combine that with these mechs that have been released, and I think that that's going to be very, very strong. So those are the two decks that I'm really going to focus on. But I mean, I have a whole list of things that I want to try, like Control Warrior, and there's some combo decks as well with Priest, with the Reckless dude who kills your minions off. So there's like a Zombie Chow OTK that I want to try out as well.
I think I'm going to play... I really like the idea of tryharding and playing Mech Hunter like Ray, because I do think that deck's going to end up being very good. That might be like one of... I really feel like if it plays out the way I think it will, that could be a top... That might be a top-tier deck that we're talking about in a couple weeks.
I hope it is.
Yeah, but I really want to play around with Warlock Zoo. Because I think I think you can run a lot of the same package with Zoo as you do with the Mech Hunter. But you would just like I really feel like this package of Mecharoo, Explodinator, and Wargear Like, I really feel like that's going to be like the Pirates of old, where it just feels like it's in a lot of different decks.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try it. Paladin is third on my list after Rogue, and that's going to have the same skeleton, as you said. And then I want to try some type of janky mage deck with Luna's Pocket Galaxy after that.
Mm. Yeah, I think Zoo's going to be pretty fun. But I think what I really want to play around with is Rogue and doing some shenanigans with Academic Espionage. Because that's still like my favorite card.
I mean, it could be good. Like, it reduces everything to one. It's just random. Like, you could randomly get a one mana Ultimate Infestation, or you could randomly get a one mana Innervate. You know,
it just depends. Still, like, but that's not the point. I'm not playing this to get legend. Playing it because I think it sounds fun. But I also think it could, like, this is one of those cards that could end up being very good as well, though. Especially in like a Miracle Rogue type package.
I'm gonna make a video. It's gonna be called "What Is Fun," and the tagline is gonna be, "It's gonna be like me playing Hearthstone and be like, what is fun, baby? Don't burst me, don't burst me, no more." And it's just gonna be me playing Mech Hunter, and I'm gonna be playing against Maligoster. You're just gonna burst me with a moon or a moonfire for a million damage. I'm gonna cry.
I want to see this music video that you're gonna make of that.
I wish I could edit or do anything video wise. That'd be so fun. Too.
That's an easy viral video, though. If you could put that out, that would be great. Man,
if anybody listening knows how to edit YouTube videos, hit me up. Can work out a deal.
So, what do you guys think? Obviously, Druid's a big winner in this set. Because we're talking about all the tools that they're getting. Who else do you think are kind of the big winners of this set that's going to jump up in rank from where they're at now? They're potentially like maybe they were, you know, seventh or eighth, you know, rank class wise, but now they're going to be three or four.
I don't think there's that drastic of a jump, but I think that Warrior is going to come from last place in the meta up to like maybe mid tier, maybe even a little bit higher. I think Warrior has a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm.
I think Warrior kind of got shafted here because I feel like the mechs are all just garbage. Like, there's not going to be a mech Warrior deck. I just feel like that's not going to be a thing. And the only good card they got was Dr. Boom and Weapons Project. And those two cards are very good, but I just don't see them changing the archetypes. I still feel like big Warrior and Control Warrior archetypes are still just going to be the go-to. I don't think any of these mech cards they got are going to be good. I feel like Warrior was probably one of the biggest losers of the set, considering I only think two of their cards are playable. I guess the same goes for Mage as well. Even though they got their legendaries are both very good, I feel like all the other cards they got are pretty mediocre. I might be wrong in the Mage one. I think Hunter was a huge winner. I feel like Hunter got a lot of very decent cards. Goblin Prank, Bomb Toss, Fireworks Tech. Even the legendary is probably going to see some play too. I feel like they're all just pretty decent. Druid obviously is a huge winner here. Somehow, Druid got even better.
Yeah.
Like, even aggro Druid. I think landscaping is very, very good. Like,
as I said, Druid is, I feel like Druid's a clear winner. And then I feel like Hunter and then it's a toss-up between, like, Paladin and Rogue.
Yeah. I think Hunter's gonna, like, Hunter already had one of the best decks last format in Egg Hunter. But I think it's going to get better. I don't know what's going to jump the most, though. Honestly, maybe Zoo. Like, maybe Zoo becomes so good that Warlock jumps higher. But even Warlock was already tier 2, tier 1 last format. I don't know. Maybe somebody makes a really good Priest deck. Like with Reckless Experimenter. Maybe Quest Priest actually becomes a thing people can play. Or with test subject and topsy turvy and stuff like that, combo priest becomes a thing, or there's a Xerix cloning gallery priest deck that's nuts. I really don't know. Priest is so hard for me to judge with these cards because they're either very combo based or just very synergy based, like the Death Rattle, and it's not easy for me to judge those. But there's potential for Priest to be the biggest winner in terms of jumping the tier list. And Mage. I guess Mage has no good decks right now as well. So I think Mage and Priest are the classes with the most potential.
Mage has no good decks. How soon Bitcoin Mage has been forgotten?
Okay, my opinion does not represent the opinion of everyone. Just because I think Mage is a very, like, Big Mage was very good last format, does not mean I can convince anyone else of the same thing. It's like Fibonacci. He's just like the lone warrior. Like, nobody thinks, like, the Big Warrior deck is good, but he's still getting top 10 with it. Like, just because one person is incredibly good at a deck and has an affinity for it, doesn't mean that they can convince everyone else.
All right. Anything else about this expansion that you guys want to talk about?
Watch me stream it on Twitch day one. So I'm going to be out here grinding. Yeah. I'm excited.
So we had an email. Had an email this week from Fez the Cat. And he says, "Hey, guys. I've been playing Hearthstone daily for about 4 years now, and listening to WellMet for almost as long. I really enjoy hearing you guys talk about the game and the pro Hearthstone scene. I'm interested in watching some tournaments and getting into Hearthstone esports. I'm just overwhelmed with the amount of events that happen, the different tournament formats, and how when to watch. Do you have any advice on the best way to jump into following Hearthstone esports and understanding the tournament rules and formats, such as Conquest versus Last Hero Standing and the different bans?" And he says, "P.S. Ray C., I hope you have a speedy recovery and feel better. Miss hearing you on the show all the time. You're the man. Thanks, Fez the Cat." So esports, watching esports. Do either of you have any advice for Fez?
Yeah, I think the best way to get started is to click the play button. That's the best advice you can give anyone who's, like, trying to get into it, is, like, right now there's no open tournaments. Before, I would
I think he's talking about watching.
Oh, okay, just watching. Yeah. Blizzard actually just finally, after 2 or 3 years of doing HCT, they finally came out with, like, a decent landing page for their events, which is actually mind-blowing to me. Like, it literally came out this week or last week, which blows my mind because it was actually very difficult to find events. But now
that's true.
You go to the Play Hearthstone page, there's literally a section that says esports. You click on it, you click schedule, and it's right there. All the events that you can watch, links to the Twitch page that they're going to be on, has the date, has everything. And I would say you want to watch the HCTs. Stuff like Global Games is garbage to watch because I think it's just the format's irrelevant. Like, if you're trying to watch competitive esports, I think Global Games is, like, the format's irrelevant. So it's kind of like, who cares for me personally? But all the HCT tournaments are going to have big names in them, like the HCT Taichung. We just saw, I think, Seiko won, and he's probably the best European player besides Hunter Ace. It's him, Hunter Ace, and Phenomino, and it's just high-level Hearthstone play. HET Buenos Aires has Race, R-A-S-E. He's probably the best South American or Latin American player that there is, and there's a lot of big names that are going to be playing in that. Just all the
DreamHacks are big, too. If you see a DreamHack coming up, like, yeah, those are really good to watch.
Yeah.
One of the good... Oops, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say... I'm assuming that you are not a person who can't play in the Challenger series. And those, if you're looking to play, are one of the best things that you can do to familiarize yourself with, like, competitive esports as a whole, is just to get your feet wet.
Yep. Yeah. One of the good things that is a tool for figuring out what to watch is actually the Hearthstone subreddit sidebar. They have a listing of all the upcoming tournaments for the next 2 or 3 weeks or so, and like where they'll be streamed. Because sometimes you'll see, like, Play Hearthstone has all the super major ones, but for like DreamHacks and for other events, sometimes they'll be on different Twitch streams. So if you want to like figure out the best resource on how to watch things specifically, that is my go-to. Like if I know, oh, there's some tournament coming up, or if I'm like, oh, I want to watch some Hearthstone this upcoming weekend, where can I see some of it? The sidebar actually does a pretty good job of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is something that we've complained about on the show. Even before you two, the two of you, not you two, the band, the two of you were co-hosts. You even back in the day where it was just Kevin, John, and myself, that the Hearthstone esports, like, it was very difficult to follow because there was no centralized place to find information. It's not like Heroes of the Storm or Overwatch where the stuff is there on like the play screen of the game. And it's just it's just one of those things where it just felt like it's always feels like an afterthought at Blizzard with Hearthstone esports. It's cool to see that yeah, if you go to playhearthstone.com and you click on the little esports drop down there, they have some information and they've kind of got a calendar and you can follow there. You can kind of follow along as far as like starting to learn like Conquest versus Last Hero Standing. The majority of tournaments right now are Conquest, I believe, right? Or did I switch those around?
It's Conquest, yeah.
Yeah, it's Conquest.
Everything except DreamHack.
Yeah. There's very few that end up playing Last Hero Standing. Just because it used to be the other way around. Like Last Hero Standing was the main one. And then they switched over to Conquest just because it's a little more fair. You didn't have some weird endings, I guess, that they had in some past tournaments.
I think it's Conquest.
You had a better ability of coming back, I feel like.
No, I feel like, I mean, yes, but I also feel like Conquest shows off the diversity of the decks. Like, in Last Hero Standing, you could go through a tournament watching it and just watch one OP deck 3-0.
Yep.
Like every round. Yep. So you would just never get to see the diversity.
Yeah, it wasn't a good viewing experience. Yeah.
Or playing experience, because if you lose the mirror, like say there's two OP decks, you ban one, you lose the mirror. Like, I don't know. That's just not so much fun.
Yeah. As far as bans go, a lot of people will target like you'll usually have one ban because people will bring four decks and then with one ban. And usually they'll end up having that one. There's one specific deck they'll end up getting banned almost every time. And it's usually whatever the strong deck is, or the deck that people feel like that they can't target with their other decks that they have. Or maybe it's just a deck that's so powerful. It's like, I don't even want to face that. That's usually how bans work. So that's really the gist of it there as far as that goes. But for like watching, definitely go to the playhearthstone.com website. As Ray said, that's a resource that they just recently came out with. And I think they're getting better at promoting some of this, which is weird to say like the fifth year into a game.
4 years.
But,
4 years.
4 years.
It's crazy how old Hearthstone is. It doesn't seem like 4 years to me.
I know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But yeah, definitely go check that out. And thanks for the email. If you guys would want to email us and have us answer something on the show, just send it over to wellmet@blizzpro.com.
Or if you have any ideas for topics you want us to discuss, that is also welcomed.
Yep. Anyway, I think it's time to get out of here.
Yeah, this has been quite a long show, almost 2 hours. There's maybe not.
It would take off about 20 minutes of that because we were talking beforehand. Speaking of which, if you wanted to hear us talking beforehand, you can head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. And our $5 tier, you get the show a little bit early. and you get some extra stuff of us talking. It's the uncut version of Walt Met. So you can hear us discussing the show notes beforehand. I think this is the first week we finally have done that, but we're going to continue doing that with every show after this. So if you want to do that or get coaching from Ray or myself or from Danny, or just to support the show, head over to patreon.com/walmetpodcast and do the thing there. So iTunes, I didn't see any new reviews this week. I do know that someone had left a review for us, but the thing is, if you're from another country that's not the US and you leave a review, I can't see it. I can only see US reviews. So if you're from another country and you leave a review, send it to me and we'll call you, you know, we'll shout you out on the show. Unfortunately, I just can't see them. So if you'd like to leave a iTunes review, they help us out a lot. For every 5-star iTunes review, we'll give you a shout out on the show. Just head over on iTunes, do a search, a podcast search for Hearthstone. You'll find us there. All right. Shout outs and how people can get a hold of you or in contact with you. Ray, how about you, man?
Shout outs to everyone who said kind words, just like while I was sick, hoping I was going to get better and all that stuff. That actually means a lot, especially when you're in that like atmosphere of just like being sick and you're in the hospital and everything feels like it's going wrong. When you see like people just say nice things to you, it feels good. And a lot of people who said those things were honestly listeners of the show. So that means a lot to me. I do very much appreciate it. Yeah, and you can watch me on Twitch at twitch.tv/racy591. This Tuesday, I will be streaming all my pack openings, and then I'm going to get rank one legend. Easy.
Nice. How about you, Danny? Any shout-outs?
You know what? This week, I want to give a shout-out to Chalky, because this is the first set that he was a part of that he released. So I'm pretty excited to see what his spin he put on and if it had any impact at all. As for me, you can find me on Twitter at DannyDonuts_HS, and on Twitch, it's DannyDonuts45, and I may get around to streaming some stuff because the wild scene's going to be crazy, this expansion. I'm super excited for it.
Yeah. Yeah, shout outs for me. I have one. I'm scrolling through real quick. I'm going to give a shout out to, now I can't find it. What's his name? I'm sorry. I didn't have it prepared beforehand. It's Stuart, I believe, but let me verify that. Anyway, I believe it's Stuart Nelson. To go back on Twitter, I had, said something about, Crystal Meth Kangor. And saying that, or Crystal Smith Kangor, and I said that, you know, I'm going to say Crystal Meth and mispronounce that like 20 million times on Walt Met. And he goes, you know, for every time you mispronounce that, I will donate $1 to your favorite charity. And I'm like, okay, you're on. I only said it once last episode, but he ended up donating $20 to a Girl Code It, which is a charity that gets girls interested in programming and helps them get the resources they need to get into that. So thanks for doing that. And I'm sorry if I said the wrong name. I'm trying to find it in my Twitter notifications, but couldn't find it. Anyway, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm over at Aldorian as well. Well, I think that does it. So thanks for joining us for episode 161 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at Well Met Podcast or email us at wellmet@blizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Butno for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next week.